the Raising Grace podcast. This is your host, Sheila Chester. I'm the mother of three children, and I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm reaching out to regular parents just like you and I to help me find the best ways to help my kids and myself thrive. We all are different, you and I, and with a little grace, we can do this.
Hey everyone, I am interviewing Margie Haddad. She is currently in Israel, so we had to do some time zone math, which was hard, but we did it. Margie is an international public relations expert, the general manager of Must Have Communication and Consulting, an Amazon number one best-selling author, an award-winning TV producer, as well as a coach and a speaker on how to apply public relations strategies to parenting and life careers. The Power of PR Parenting is her first book. She is married and is the mother of three children. She lives in Israel and the United States. Without further ado, here's Margie.
Listen, from an older mother with three kids to a younger mother with three little kids, let's start with you. How are you doing? How old are your kids? What's going on?
I accept this route, Margie. I have a 3, 6, and 9-year-old right now. Most mornings involve screaming by me and by them. So like everyone's screaming, did they eat their breakfast? Did they brush their teeth? I'm not totally sure, okay? But here we are, and then we get to the weekends, and people are like, aren't you so glad it's the weekend? And I'm like, I don't even know what a weekend is. What is a weekend? You tell me. So I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I just know I have 15 alarms to pick up my kids in the afternoon and to drop them off in the morning. So when alarm goes off, I have to think, where are my kids? What am I supposed to be doing right now? And that's as far as I can get on a day-to-day basis, is just limiting the amount of chaos that I have. But these creative outlets like this podcast and then my graphic design work that I do, and I sing also on the weekends, those lift me up. Those help me become the mother that I want to be.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you said a couple of magic words to me. Okay, so let me introduce myself to your audience. My name is Margie Haddad, and I have been in public relations for 30 years. I have three grown children, 26, 23, and 18. So I have been in the movie that you are describing already. Been there, seen it, done it.
Now, and you're alive. You're alive and well.
I'm alive, I'm well, and I'm still vertical, and I can tell the story. And I actually did tell the story in my debut book, which is coming out. Actually, when you hear this, it will be out on April 4th. So everybody who's listening, go to Amazon or any major bookstore or chain. Go ask them for The Power of PR Parenting. Because frankly speaking, at the very beginning of this process, the topic idea was my daughter's, my older daughter. She said, Mom, you made mistakes, but overall, I think you got it right. I think that you should write a book that will help today's moms have an easier time at it based on your experience and expertise. Well, after I picked my jaw up off of the floor, because I was really in shock, you know, how about that? I got an endorsement from my daughter. I got an A plus from one of my kids. Oh my goodness. I mean, if that wasn't like the bonus of all bonuses, you know? And so when I look back, Sheila, I thought, well, what is it? What did I do right? And I understood that I had used my job. I brought my job home with me. I used my professional skills as a public relations executive to bring up my kids. And all the things that I would do at work, I would do with my kids at home. And the net result was confident, resilient, and children experiencing some level of success. And we can define success in different ways. But when I looked at my kids, I understood that they had achieved all of this by navigating whatever crossroads or challenges they had using public relation practices and skills and strategies that they had learned at home. Now, I want to talk about you and your kids and your morning routine.
Yeah, coach me. Coach me, Margie.
I would love to coach you. And I would love to coach anybody out there, frankly, who wants a little bit of help. Now, look, you and any moms out there, originally, this book was my love letter to y'all. Okay, it's to today's moms. I sat on my couch on the weekends. I wrote the book over the course of 6 months worth of weekends because I work a full-time job. I have a PR agency. I'm still in medical PR. That was the time I had. And then I would edit throughout the course in between. And what's interesting is that even though this was a love letter to y'all, as it turns out, anybody who has kids in their lives is apparently benefiting well too, whether it's dads or grandparents or teachers or aunts, uncles, there's something in it for everybody. And I know that because of the early readers of the book, this was their feedback to me. So one of the practices that we use in public relations when we media train, or at least I do, music is a real key component. So the fact that you're a singer tells me you like music and that you sing well, mm-hmm. right? So rather than, I'm going to make a suggestion. Do you play music in the morning?
No, I don't.
Okay.
We can't agree, Margie. We can't agree on what to play.
Okay. Well, everybody gets a day.
Okay. Okay.
On a rotation, and they get to choose the song. So the night before, whoever's day it is, ask them what their choice of song is. And you're going to wake everybody up with the music, and everybody's going to dance into whatever they're doing. They're going to sing and they're going to dance into whatever the activity is, whether it's brushing their teeth, whether it's eating breakfast, whether it's getting dressed. The music is playing the whole way through, and it's going to come with you into the car on the way to school or daycare, wherever you're dropping them off.
All of those places is where I'm dropping
them. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. The music is going the entire time. Okay. So if you need to give an instruction, rather than scream it, why don't you sing it?
I do that sometimes in the afternoons. So that's because I don't wake up in the morning. So in the afternoons, I'll sing it. And Margie, they roll their eyes at me. But we all laugh. But we're laughing at the same time.
That's right, because mommy is very entertaining. But mommy can also hold a tune. So they'll get used to it. So even if they give you some pushback when you start doing it, just keep up with it. They'll get into it as long as there's a rotation. And explain to them, you know, don't just drop it on them. Explain to them that you're going to have a new routine and it's party time in the morning. You're going to have a dance party every morning. And this is going to be fun. And we're going to have a rotation. And everybody gets to choose the song on their day. And then that way, they're going to be thinking about it all week. What song do I want to choose for my day? And it can be the same song over and over again, or they can choose different. They're in control. They get to choose it. And as long as they choose their song and they're dancing, then, and this is what you're going to do for the first part of the song and the second part of the song and the third part of the song. And when it ends, we're going to put it on all over again. And we're going to go and do this next thing. And then we're going to get in the car and we're going to jam out. And then this way, not only does this become a routine and part of like a performance tradition in your home, but it gives them a nice mind sorbet that whatever they're nervous for at school or daycare, they can just tune it out, have a good time, and go into school and start their day in a good mood.
I love that idea.
I am not a morning person, okay?
No, I am like also not a morning
opposite.
Person.
Opposite. I mean, you'll read this in the book that I will sleep 5 more minutes in the morning when the kids were little, and I would pay the price on the glamour bill. People, I would literally, all right, you probably like put real clothes on. I would slide out of my pajamas, okay? I could really care less. That's how much ego I have about how I look when I walk out the door. I did not care because I would work till really late at night and I had a very full day and I would pull my act together after I dropped the kids off. It just was not going to happen at 7 in the morning. So sorry, but you know, when people would say, do you go to work? And I'm like, of course. Are you kidding me?
Eventually I go to work.
And here's the thing, you're not going for the Academy Award or for the Grammy, okay? It doesn't matter if you're cracking when you're singing. The point is that you put a smile on your face, okay? Get your cup of coffee. Don't worry about the glamour bill, okay? And just sing good morning, you know? It doesn't matter if it's good or not. I mean, I just sang completely off key and it does not matter. The point is that you're having a good time with your kids and music always elevates the spirit, no matter what.
I'm in love with this idea. It's happening, Margie. It's happening. And I will even report back and tell the listeners how it has worked.
But I would like you to do it for a few weeks. before. Yes. Don't give up on it right away. If they go, Mom, you're certifiably insane. What happened to you? What did you smoke or drink?
Okay, they already think that. So it's cool. They already think I'm insane. Yeah, it's great. We're good.
But when you introduce it to them, Sheila, introduce it as this is the new thing, the new family tradition. Call it a tradition. It's a new family tradition. This is what we're going to do. And everybody gets to pick their song on rotation. So that basically means if there's three kids, now do you get to choose a song? It's up to you if you want to have a day too.
I would like to, but I think I might let them decide if I get a day.
There's five days, and then you can do this on the weekends too, because you still have things you need to do on the weekends, right?
Well, we can include Dad on the weekends since he's already out of the house by morning routine time. So,
so there's five people. So there's two overlap days.
Yes.
Okay. So fair enough. So just like you have a job chart, you can have a music chart. Whose is it today? And just make sure that the rotations stick and you remember whose turn it is so you don't get upset. Now that's the morning routine, right? In the afternoon, same ball game. Turn on the music. But this time it's not about brushing your teeth and washing your face and eating. Now we're dancing in the living room.
Just to get the daily wiggles out?
Just to get the daily wiggles out. They come home. They've been sitting in school all day. They've been learning. They're completely Kentucky Fried. You know, they did their homework, you know, enough, you know. So what I would do is, well, first of all, the Disney music lineup was always wonderful. You know, whether you're a Disney fan or not, but the, pick your favorite music from whatever Disney. My kids until today will pick a Disney song and jump around the room. And they're in their 20s.
They're adults. Yeah.
It's hysterical, but they love it. And my kids are very musical. Like, I've got a singer, I've got a dancer, and I've got a musician who plays the guitar and the keyboards. So this is something that if you instill it in them in an early time and you're at an early stage, this will stick with them for the rest of their lives.
I love
morning,
this.
And afternoon. And then that way they get, you know, you can, depending if you want, you can have, this is the morning roster and then this is the afternoon roster. So it ultimately means they get twice during the week.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. That way, if they don't like the morning song, then somebody else gets to pick the afternoon song.
Yeah. Exactly. And we do this in public relations all the time. And I especially, this is part of my routine, is using music to prep my clients for interviews, for presentations, for anything public, so that they get what we call in Yiddish, the spielkas out, the nervous energy.
And the wiggles, right?
The wiggles.
Yeah,
the wiggles, whatever nervous energy the kids have and you have. So if you're going to make a presentation or you're about to perform and you've got some wiggles going on, go turn on your favorite music and jam out. Clear your mind. Put a smile on your face. And then that way you go and you have a good time and you're in a good mood. And when we're in a good mood, we always produce better.
I agree.
So that's a little bit of, that's one tip anyway, that you'll learn from the book about how we use music to prep and to get rid of the nervous energy, which we'll call it the wiggles here.
I'm excited to try this. What else?
Oh, absolutely.
What else has worked with your children? Tell me everything. Now I'm intrigued, Margie. Tell me everything.
Tell how many hours you got, Sheila.
just one. Move along.
Okay. So let me tell you, and I'll tell everybody else who's listening to this too. Okay. So the book is 10 chapters with an introduction and a conclusion. Now, where do these 10 chapters come from? They are not random. And from the start, I wanted to help. I didn't want to be dry about it. I wanted to be very practical. I didn't just want to go, okay, I'm going to tell you some stories and I'll choose them and just take what I give you. No. So I spoke to a bunch of moms with kids of different ages. And I said, y'all, what do you want to know? What are you having trouble with? Or not necessarily trouble, but you'd like some fresh ideas with. And that's what the 10 chapters in the book are built on. I'm literally answering the questions of real working moms and what they wanted to know from crisis management, whether it's health related or danger in the street or some version of terrorism, let's call it, to performance and presentation and how to help with the writing skills and how to build self-esteem and resilience and confidence, to how do you deal with bullies, to prejudice, and then lighter subjects, because everything's not a crisis, right? Not everything's so heavy. So things like, all right, my kid loves their pacifier, but how am I going to get my kid to stop with the pacifier and not create like an Academy Award winning drama? How am I going to get my kid to listen to me and not lie?
Yes. Do you have one for that?
Yes, I have.
My nine-year-old is an expert liar.
Yes, I have a strategy for that, and it's in the book for the line, because I know the kids are all good kids. It's not the issue. Kids lie for all sorts of different reasons. You know, it's not that they're bad kids. Generally speaking, my experience has been they just don't want to get into trouble. So they tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah, my son likes to get a rise out of us, and he likes to be the center storyteller. So oftentimes he will tell a story, like a big fish story. And usually it's innocent, but sometimes I'm like, you can't tell stories like that. That's harmful. That's not true. People aren't going to believe you if you continue to tell these big fish stories. So it's hard to say, I love the story you're telling. What's the truth?
So what if we did it this way? What if we say, okay, so give us an example. No, I want you to ask your son, can I ask you what's your son's name, or just give me the first letter?
Nico.
Nico. Okay.
Yeah.
Nico, what a fabulous story. I just love that. Can you show me an example?
Oh.
I want to go into your world. We all know it's crap, right? But explore it with him. He's inviting you when he does this. Now, I'm not a psychologist and I'm not a parenting expert. So I'm looking at it through a PR lens. Okay.
Right.
Through a PR lens, I would say that was very clever and very colorful. I'd like to learn more. Tell me more about this thing,
right,
that you're telling me about.
Right. Whatever we're telling you about.
Because yeah. I want to be part of this and explore it with you. And as he goes into whatever creative, Nico sounds very creative to me.
He's very creative. Very creative, yes.
So why don't we explore Nico's creativity a little bit more? One of the things we do in public relations, when we hear something, we ask a lot of questions. So if you hear something that sounds a little funny to you, explore it more. Explore the creativity. See where you can go with it. And then see if he's artistic. Maybe he can draw it for you. Or maybe he can play a song that sounds like that. If mm-hmm. music is his thing, whatever his thing is. Or if it's athletics show, maybe he can bring in the athletic with it. Explore it. And then at the end of the exercise, say, I'd like to know more about how we're going. What's the next step now, Nico? Tell us what the next step is.
Interesting. That's a different way to look at it, rather than just trying to dig for the truth. Just let him tell the story the way he wants to tell the story.
Exactly. Eventually, the truth will spill.
Yeah. That makes sense, because there comes a time he's like, well, actually, this is what happened.
Okay. Yeah, eventually they spill. But he's telling you a story because that's his way to work his way towards telling you. So give him the rope. Let him go and let him fish and take you on a journey with him and just have a little bit of fun with it. I mean, ultimately, this is a positive reinforcement instead of a don't do this and don't do that. And then the kid starts to arch their back because you're saying they are bad and they are never.
Or you're
bad.
Saying, I don't believe you. I don't trust you. I don't think you're a reliable person. And I don't want to do that either. So I have a hard time when he says, well, Mom, I'm sick. And
I'm sick.
He says he'll say he's sick. I can't go to school today. I'm sick. I'm like, well, how do I know that you're sick? Like, how sick are you? And I've had to be like, you have to have a fever. You have to be puking. You have to like, he's no, I'm sick. I can't go to school. And so it's really hard for me.
So why are you sick? What hurts? Show me where it hurts. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much does it hurt? Okay, Nico, can you please get up? And here's a line. You see this line on the floor? Can you please walk the line and show me? I'd like you just walk from here to here, please. Okay, Nico, take your hands, fingers, and let me see you touch your nose. Okay, stick your tongue out. Let me say, let me take your temperature. Okay, let me feel behind your ears. Just like a doctor's appointment.
Okay. A doctor's appointment and a DUI test. Like, we'll just do both of those.
You can do the DUI test. Yeah. Do whatever test you want. Okay, this sounds like a tension. Okay, or he's scared about something at school that day. So my next question, assuming that he really is healthy, my next question would be, what's going on at school today? Do you have a test? Do you have a paper due? And if it's not academic, how are everything with the kids? Something going on, you know, who are you sitting next to? Who are you playing with at recess? Something's going on that he doesn't want to go to school.
So really focus in on him rather than rolling my eyes and be like, just get your stuff ready. Let's go. Ask every question, like really focus in. I'm really concerned about you. I'm really concerned about your well-being. You may not be physically sick, but what's going on inside your head?
Explore.
I have another example for you. Is that okay? Or would you like to continue with the direction you want to go?
I'm here to help, Sheila. However, I can help you.
I have so many examples, Marge. Okay, so I have a 6-year-old that won't eat dinner. She won't eat her very specifically dinner. We all sit together as a family and she won't touch it. I don't like it. I won't try it. It looks gross. I don't want to.
What would she like?
Every time she will eat, sometimes she will just go get salami and cheese, which is fine. We've involved her in the cooking process to try to help her, be a part of the meal. I've asked her what she wants for dinner. She'll only eat quesadillas if it's her choice for dinner every night. Very particular about what she will eat. But my concern is, what if this is something that it's a power struggle of, I'm not going to eat what you make me eat. I'm not going to do what you make me do. So how do we ask the questions with that?
Do you take her to the grocery store?
No, I avoid children in the grocery store at all costs. It's a nightmare.
How old is this one?
She's six.
She's six. She's first grade. Okay. There's no more struggle. If she's hungry, she will eat. Again, I'm not a psychologist. That's actually what my mother used to tell me, because I've got finicky eaters here too. And ultimately, they'll find something on the table to eat because they are hungry. Now, they might not eat what you want them to eat.
Right.
So just make sure your 6-year-old, does she take vitamins?
Yep.
Is she drinking?
Yep. Not alcohol. She's totally healthy. She's growing. She drinks water. She drinks milk like it's, you know, Kool-Aid. She's getting her vitamins. She'll eat breakfast every day. She's a breakfast eater. So, you know, it's just, I don't know, because she eats lunch at school. On the weekends, I work during lunch. So my husband handles that. Usually I have to feed them snacks. So I'm assuming they don't eat lunch.
Is her weight okay?
Yeah, she weighs fine. She's right on the growth track. I know.
It's a non-issue. As long as there's food, Sheila, as long as there's food, okay? And there's her salami and cheese is her default, no problem, okay? Yeah. She'll sit at the table with you, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the goal. All I want is my kids to be at the table with us every single night.
So she'll find something on the table. And then if she's still hungry after, then she can go, she'll sneak her salami and cheese, and that's fine.
That's fine.
Make it a non-issue. If the way You can't fight with a wall. Okay.
That's exactly what it feels like. You're fighting with a wall. It's the same with a three-year-old and any kid, right? If you're going to fight them, you're going to lose.
Well, or if you don't respond, then there's nobody for them to have a power struggle. Think of it that way. It's not that you're going up against them. Let's flip this around. It's them trying to see what your borders are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's safety borders, which you've got to put your feet down, dig those little stiletto heels down, and that you don't budge on the safety issues. But when it comes to food, that's one thing they get to control, what goes in their mouth. So if that's the issue, make it a non-issue. Okay. You don't want to eat? Don't eat.
And that's a simple solution. But it's with a lot of parents, it's hard to just put that one aside, even if they are healthy, you know?
But they're hydrated. They've got their vitamins. Her weight is fine. She is eating. She's just not eating your choices. Maybe you take 6-year-old child with you to the grocery store, just her.
Mm-hmm. She would love that. That's like a mother-daughter date. When you have three kids, you really have to build in those dates with each of the kids. So yeah, taking three kids to the grocery store is a nightmare, but taking one kid to the grocery store, that's something I could do.
When I would take my kids to the grocery store, I'd make it into an amusement park game.
Who tell me?
Well, they would be on, the carts have a place for your foot, don't they? They stand on the cart and you're pushing them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So here comes the music again.
Okay. Oh, geez.
Or whatever the grocery store is playing. And then everybody's on and you make this into a game. Rather than say get off the cart, tell them to get on the cart. Everybody got their hands square. But push it at a speed where you can be careful that nobody gets hurt.
Right.
And then, okay, you grab this one, give everybody a to-do. You grab that one, everybody's part of the exercise. Then it becomes an activity with mommy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And 6-year-old gets to pick. What would you like for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
You get 5 choices of dinner. What are your 5 choices? Put the control in her arms.
Okay. Okay. With some limitations.
Well, obviously chocolate and marshmallows are out. Sure. No problem. Marshmallows. Sure. No problem. Chocolate. But that's dessert. We're not talking about dessert. We're talking about dinner.
Right.
Now, what does this do with the PR messages? With the PR practices? It's key messages.
Okay.
Okay. Whenever we interview, we think about what do we want to say to the reporter? Or when we're making a presentation, what are our messages that we want to share with our audience? So when you're with your kids, it's the key messages with your kids. What is the goal that you're trying to achieve? And what is the messaging? What tone of voice do you use? How do you deliver it in order to achieve your goal?
Yeah.
So a 6-year-old, she's going to respond to you giving her control.
Yeah.
Control's in your hand, 6-year-old. What would you like for dinner? You got the whole grocery store to choose from. Mm-hmm. Woohoo! Where are we going? What aisle?
She would love that. I'm going to do that as soon as spring break is over. So, I have a lot of practice. You are putting me into a lot of practices. What are some of the major lessons you learned with your children? Were each of your children similar? Were they different?
All different. But I used music with all of them. I used key messages with all of them. I tried to listen with all of them. One of the other things that was really easy to do and that I would recommend for all the moms out there, for self-esteem, is to hug your children every day, multiple times.
What if they don't want to be hugged?
Then you don't have to hug them. That's one of the things that I say. If you don't want to hug, would you like a hug?
Mm-hmm.
If they want, then they come in 20 seconds or till they release, whichever comes first. 20 seconds, there's some sort of scientific proof that that amount of time releases a chemical in your body that makes you feel good and fills you up with love and esteem.
Mm-hmm.
For us as parents, but also for the kids. Now, we've done this. When they were little, I used to hug them all the time. And until today, my kids will come up to me and give me a hug. And they're in their 20s. Can I have a mommy hug? They say, can I have a mommy hug? Or can I have a hug? You know, and then I'll turn to them sometimes and say, you know what? I want a hug. And they'll go, I don't feel like it. And I'm like, well, that's fine, but I could really use one. And then they go, well, okay. So it's not a matter of them not wanting to as much as, well, you don't have to give me a hug, but I could really use one.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it as well. I should probably do that with my husband too, huh?
Yeah. So these are the kind of things that we talk about in the book. And mm-hmm. we go through, I mean, look, there's 222 pages. There's a lot of information. And it will take you from the baby days all the way up until university admission and everything yeah. in between. And we talk about all the subjects that I referred to earlier. And we address it in through looking through a public relations lens. And I'll tell you what else is kind of fun, Sheila. At the end of each chapter, there's a QR code. And it will take you to a free workbook, a free PR parenting workbook, which is an expansion of the exercises in each chapter. So I'm going to tell you some stories. I'm going to tell you how I did it. Then I'm going to show you how you can do it and apply it to your own situation. Then you can go to the workbook and you can actually do the exercises in the book, an expanded version of them. And then you can print it out and you have an action plan in your hand. That's why I wanted to give this as a gift. I didn't want to charge for it because, look, ultimately, the idea is to help y'all. And I wanted you to have something tangible in your hand. So when you finish reading this book and you finish going through the workbook, you say, okay, now I've got a plan to exercise.
What you're telling me is these tips expand, go beyond borders. This is not just for American parents. This is not just for parents of this generation. I even think a lot of the tips that you're giving can span generations and can span cultures and countries, because you use the music of your culture. Everybody listens. It doesn't matter what country you are in and what language you're speaking and what, you know, whether you're a homosexual couple, LGBTQ couple, or it doesn't matter. Like, these are simple relationship tools that work for building relationships, especially in your children.
Correct. It was written for all, initially for all working moms, but like we said at the top of this, it applies to anybody with children in their lives, no matter their community, no matter what country they come from, no matter what their religious background is, whatever their community is. Whoever you are, if you've got kids in your life, these are universal concepts. And basically, public relations is a common denominator of a lot of things, a lot of professions and a lot of things. So it's a brand new way of looking at it, not your traditional parenting way, and it is intended to apply to anybody. And to your point, if we do a good enough job at instilling self-esteem, confidence, resilience in our children and have them experience enough success in their life, and guess what? They're going to pay it forward to their kids, because that's what they're going to know. They're going to know positivity and how to bring out the best in their children through positive key messaging. Instead of telling your children what not to do, guide them how to do it.
They'll show them how to do it.
Yeah. Exactly. Show them, guide them, so that they can go back and practice all over again until they get it to the best that they can possibly do it. And then if that's what they grow up with, they'll pass it forward to their children and so on and so forth. So the power of PR parenting, the book, is the tool that I hope that people are still using 100 years from now to teach their kids public relations strategies, skills, tactics, what have you, so that they can continue this on for generations to come. And think about it. If everybody's doing it and it becomes a thing, then people are going to be kinder, more respectful to each other and appreciate diversity, celebrate diversity, and feel so comfortable with their own skill set and their own deliverable to walk in with their heads held high and know that they're contributing so well that when somebody has a different viewpoint, that they can be respectful of it and even celebrate the differences.
That is such a huge statement and something that I am constantly trying to instill in my kids. But quite frankly, it's something that I didn't fully get and understand. My parents did the best they could with the information they have. I'm doing the best I can with the information I have. And what you are offering is information for the next generation to say, here, you are doing the best with the information you have, but here is more information. And I think as a parent, what I'm doing also as I'm looking online, like, just tell me what to do. And each kid is so different. You know, I have two children that are adopted and one child that's biological. And I always, oh, they're so different. And then you tell me your three biological children are also so different from each other. And then, you know, my cousin who has three biological, she's like, they're all different. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. And, you know, I thought I was just special having all these genetically different children, but every child is born completely unique. And with that, needing a unique set of parenting, a unique set of boundaries, a unique way of relationally working with other children, other adults. And I think the way that you're teaching this, or that you're explaining how you did it and how you do it in your professional career, is so important and so helpful just for me as a parent, for me as an individual, working on my relationships with other human beings and helping my kids work on relationships with other human beings. The older they get, the less I have control over their friendships, the people that they hang out with, the people that they give their trust to. And, you know, my 9-year-old is like, no, these are my friends. You don't get to decide my friends anymore. And I just want him to be able to say no to his friends when he believes he needs to say no and not worry about the peer pressure and have the confidence.
To have the confidence. So here's a strategy.
It's actually, I accept.
And my kids actually do this until today. I say, if you don't feel comfortable with something and you don't want to do something that the other kids are encouraging you to do, blame it on me. The worst they can say is you're a mama's boy. So what? Sticks and stones. They say, my mom said I can't do that. And she's tracking me. I'm sure he's got a phone. She's tracking me. She knows.
No way. I'm not doing the phones at night.
No. Okay. Say my mom will know the difference and she just forbid me to do it. So sorry, but my mom's a real, my kids call me all sorts of things.
I accept whatever you want to call them.
My mom flies on a broomstick. She'll never have it. I just tell my kids, blame it on me. So when my daughters or my son don't want to do something when they were younger, they would just say, my mom just will not. She's a horrible mother. She will not let me.
I love that idea. Blame it on me.
And I don't care. They can blame anything on me. It's perfectly fine. You know? Yeah. And that
one time my son told me that I was super strict and I'm like, I accept, because I am not super strict, but I know what he's talking about and how I'm like, you do blame it on me then. You do say, well, my mom said I can't do that.
I'm like, good. Yeah, that's great. No problem. Because that way they can save face with their friends and not have to do something and they're uncomfortable with or that will lead them to danger.
Can we talk about your location?
I live in Israel and the United States.
Where did you raise your children?
Israel and the United States.
Both of them?
Yes.
How? How did you do that?
They went to school mostly in Israel. But we summered a lot. We summer in the United States. When they were babies, we would go visit my parents. You know, I would find a way to work it out financially, or because there's always some sort of special program for kids from abroad. So you get a discount or something like that.
Yeah. And how have you noticed the difference culturally from Israel to the United States?
What, for me, a personal question?
Like for the kids, like you're raising them in two different cultures, right? Or is where you're raising them in Israel, is that a very similar culture?
Well, let's say three different cultures, because there's the Israeli versus American. And then there's mm-hmm. If you go to the subculture of the Jewish community, because I'm Jewish. So I grew up in the American Jewish Ashkenazi community. Okay. So my kids are familiar with that. And my husband comes from an Eastern background. His parents are from Morocco and Tunis.
That's a lot of cultures.
That's a lot of cultures. And here's the good news, Sheila. Because my kids have had exposure not only to their family cultures, but to also other cultures between meeting all my friends and my colleagues over the years, they understand that everybody does it differently. Not better or worse, just differently. And it expands their perspective and it increases the respect for other ways to do things. And let me tell you, the cooking is so good. Because if we do one kind of cooking or another kind of cooking, you know, this is always change up. So rather than say, oh, it's not my way, I'm not going to do it. You know, it doesn't feel comfortable for me. My kids say, oh, let's see how you do it. And maybe I'll borrow the parts I like.
Right. That's exactly what this podcast is me trying to borrow parts from other parents. What are you doing that's working? What are you doing that's working? And, you know, it's just like that cooking, multicultural cooking, being able to try different foods and try different cultures and try different, you know, ways of doing things.
You know,
I love that.
Moms, there is a question that we all ask ourselves every single day, multiple times a day. And I'm still doing it, by the way. And that question is, how on earth do I handle that? So it's the same question, but the answer might differ depending on your circumstances. So mm-hmm. the questions are the same. And what we do in this book is we learn what questions to be asking ourselves. And then once we figure out the answers to those, then we think, well, now we got to key message this and think about our tone and our delivery so that we can achieve our short, medium, or long-term goal. Now I'm talking public relations strategy. Okay, this is what I mean. Now I'm going to make a big statement here. One of the big themes of the book is that we should not separate work from home. That's what we've all been taught, leave the job at the job. I say, if you have a special skill set, and what do you mean if? You all have special skill sets. Sheila, you're a singer, whoever's listening, whatever you do for your job, and even if you're a stay-at-home mom, I know that you have superpowers. Take those superpowers and instead, you know, look, our job and our work, they benefit from them, right? And they see how fabulous we are and we've got respect, you know, and people appreciate us at the job for our performance. Bring those home, teach them to your kids. And whether they're good at it or not makes absolutely no difference. At least they've had the experience of learning and trying. And then let them benefit from your superpowers. So I say, bring the work home. That's what I did. I brought my public relations expertise home and taught my kids, helped them to improve their writing, helped them improve their analysis, performance, presentation, key messaging, help them to build their self-esteem and their self-confidence and their resilience so that if it doesn't work out one way, that they'll try another way until they get to where they want to go. And it's okay if you make mistakes, because guess what? There's no such thing as the perfect first run. There's no such thing as the perfect first draft. Expect to have feedback, not criticism, feedback to make it better. It's just about improving. And guess what? The top CEOs in the world don't get it right the first time either. Everybody gets to improve. And that's what's so fun, because it means we get to practice and have fun doing it.
Yeah, so that's a growth mindset. You're teaching your kids growth from the beginning. We are not here to be perfect. We are here to try something new and grow ourselves a little bit bigger so that maybe next time we can do it a little bit differently, which may not be the perfect way, but it might be better. It might work a little bit better.
And even if it doesn't,
let's keep trying,
learn and try something else. But it all starts from that very first point about bringing your superpowers home.
I love that, because we do. We're human beings and we all have superpowers. And I think when moms first bring their babies home, they lose themselves. They lose their individualities. But if they say, no, I need that piece to start parenting, to start doing this better, that first year is really hard, right? Because they're babies and all they do is eat and poop and sleep and eat and poop and sleep. But once we get to that 2-year age, that's when you really have to bring in those social skills and those superpowers from your individual life. So you can bring that back in.
But why? Why even wait till they're two? Start with the music, start with the key messages, talk with them. Don't use baby language, use sophisticated words. Their vocabulary will expand that much more. They're absorbing. Just because they don't talk yet doesn't mean they're not absorbing. Smile, hug them. Tell them how fabulous they are 17 million times a day. Listen, if we hear enough times something negative, we start to believe it. If we hear enough times how fabulous we are, that maybe we'll believe that too. You can never tell somebody too many times how fabulous they are and how much you love them and how proud of them you are. Even if you tell them 100 times a day, it's still either never enough or not, you know, it's okay. You didn't over.
It's never enough, because that one negative word could break
and
it all
you
down.
And there's a lot of negativity out there in the world. And as parents, our job is to remind our children just how fantastic they are.
Right. We have about 5 minutes of your time left. I was wondering, do you have any thoughts on technology with kids right now?
Well, they're really good at it. If I have a question, I go to my
kids. Yeah, they are. Better than me.
My kids are editing my videos. Because it takes them 2 minutes. What's the real question?
The question is, what harm is being done if I'm letting my kids get on socials and on video games that are talking with other kids? And where do you limit that? Where do you limit the technology in the phones, in the internet, and the video games? And how do
that comes down to borders. I think that you set for the little ones, you set a certain amount of time. And block the dangerous things. There's blocking technology today. So block it.
Yeah.
Set a certain amount of hour, you know, from this time to this time, you can do it. You know, just like an afternoon activity lasts from this time to that time. Screen time is also from this time to that time. You know, it's part of the structure. Kids need structure. They want structure. Yeah. If they'll appreciate your borders, they might try to color outside of the lines. And, you know, one of my children is particularly spirited and tried to color outside of the lines. And I just was emphatic. And you think your kids called you strict. I was like, I'm telling you, I didn't drive a car. I drove a broomstick.
And how do you deal with teens that are like, I'm a teenager now. I can use my phone as much as I want. I can do what I want on my phone. How do you handle that?
Well, who's paying the bill?
Oh, that's true. You shut that down.
Have the confidence to stand your ground. You're the parent, they're the kid. Mm-hmm. You're there to guide them and keep them safe. Explain to them why they get a certain amount of hours. Explain to them why this is not the way to do something. Explain to them. Don't mandate it. Explain to them. And then if you explain it to them, then they'll understand something rational. And then they might not like it, but at least they'll get it. Mm-hmm. The worst thing in the world is to answer with because, or because I said so.
Yeah.
That's just infuriating. It's like customer service. You go to a company because something didn't work out right and you need something fixed, right? Like there was a mistake. and you go to the customer service rep and say, hey, can you help me? And they nicely tell you to go pound sand. It just frustrates you because you wanted to fix something and advance, and they did not help you. So it's customer service for the kids. Explain to your teenager, look, the screen for your eyes is not great, okay? And besides that, the blue light, which will keep you up all night. Besides that, there's a lot of danger, and you think you're talking to another 15-year-old, but guess what? It might be a 35-year-old, and you won't know the difference. There's danger out there that you need to be aware of. So I would like to know what games you're playing on. Show me. You get between this time and that time. If somebody approaches you, I would like to know about it. If somebody says something that freaks you out, please tell me. I can only help if you tell me. Walk through all these things with them. In an adult conversation, they'll get you. Even if they're little kids, they will get you. Okay? And explain to them why you are concerned. And then all of a sudden, the 2 hours and the creepy person who might be approaching them, they'll say, hey, mom, somebody just said that the weirdest thing to me. And say, okay, well, so let me see. Be part of their world. It's not a competition. And it's not a power struggle. It's something that you can do together.
I think that's a great point about the power struggle. That's something that my husband definitely struggles with as well, is do what I say. Now, you know, because I'm your dad, that's, you do it what I say. And I can, my son just like, I absolutely will not do that. Like, you got to give me a better reason than that.
Correct. And out of respect for your children, and if you want them to understand, and they need to understand the whys, like in PR, why, how, the why, the how, and the what.
Yeah.
Okay? They need to understand the why and how it could affect them. And that's why you're doing what you're doing.
Give me the title of your book again.
It is called The Power of PR Parenting, How to Raise Confident, Resilient, and Successful Children Using Public Relations Strategies. If you'd like to join my community, go to www.prforlife. Remember that there is a workbook, a free workbook, that is my gift to you. And if you want a little bit of extra help afterwards, like Sheila and I are having some fun here, we can do the same with y'all, because I am available for private coaching. And we'll get into whatever your questions are. And I hope that I helped a little bit today, Sheila, with your three.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to try those solutions that you came up with there. And I'm going to put all of that information in our show notes as well. Website. I'll give you the Amazon link. Is that where you want people to buy it? Is on Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon would be great. Yes, please. And it's available in all the formats. And you can also follow me on Instagram, Margie Haddad, and join the community that keeps you up to date with everything going on. And I give extra special tips based on current things and any kind of questions that you might want to ask. I can respond for everybody to learn, and I will change the names to protect the innocent. But at least that way you can get your answer and everybody else can learn from that as well. And I am truly here to help today's working moms and future generations to benefit looking through a PR lens. It worked for me, guys. I hope it works for you.
Thank you for listening to my conversation with Margie Haddad. What a treat to get the opportunity to interview Margie. I just started working with my kids on some of the suggestions she made in this interview, and I think we are making some headway with our chaotic mornings. Slowly, but surely. You can find Margie's book right on Amazon. All of the links for this podcast are in my show notes and on my website at SheilaKChester.com. As always, none of my guests are parenting experts. We are all navigating the world of parenting the best way we know how. Thank you for listening to Raising Grace Podcast. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast on whatever platform you are listening on right now. Until next time, please give yourself and others a little more grace.
I said Raising Grace.
That's right.
And our house. Mm-hmm.